Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. Steve, how you doing today?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Doing well. You got a new whiskey for us to talk about. We're changing our scoring system, right? We're now going to do the 1 to 100, treating it like a cigar or wine.
Right.
So basically 70 is garbage, 80 is drinkable but nothing special, 90 is good, and then every point above that is saying something.
Exactly. So, which I think is, I'm glad you brought that up on the last show. That's a great call. I think that helps, like you said, just give us a little bit more range and, pliability in the scoring. So, tonight's offering is the triple distilled Auchentoshan. It's a single malt whiskey. Auchentoshan, it's funny, a lot of people that see the bottle and see the name, they're like, hey, is that a German scotch? No, you actually can't have a German scotch. It's getting right into it. The one thing that sucks is that I don't know the region of Auchentoshan. It doesn't say on the box or say on the bottle. And part of me wants to say it's a Highland, but I'm not sure. So I would have to dig into it a little bit to get that figured out. But it is – so this is Auchentoshan, this is the American Oak. What they did was – this is another one where, we had the Lafroy Quarter Cask where it was aged in bourbon barrels. This one was also aged in bourbon barrels. It's a thing that they're doing with Scotch whiskeys and Irish whiskeys now. And where with the Laphroaig, with the quarter cask, we got it smoothed out a Laphroaig that's normally relatively harsh. With Auchentoshan, because a regular Auchentoshan, or just their Auchentoshan 12-year, isn't very harsh. It's a relatively mild whiskey. You don't get a lot of wood. You get decent flavor, but it's relatively easy to take down. Well, when you do that, apparently when you take scotch and you put it in a bourbon barrel, it tames the whiskey to a certain degree, I think. And so when you have something that's already relatively mild and then you tame it down, I think you get this. So I taste the wood, which is good initially, but I mean, it fades really quickly and there's not a lot on the back end in terms of, there's no bite, but there's also not a ton of flavor. What are your thoughts?
It does have a very malty or kind of very sweet. I looked it up online while we were talking. It is a lowland scotch.
Mm. Complete opposite.
Okay. but I like it. It does have, to me, it almost tastes like a bourbon.
Yeah, so it's got...
It kind of reminds me of Basil Hayden, to be honest with you.
That's... I could co-sign on that. There's some citrus in there. There's supposed to be some coconut. I don't pick that up. The citrus I get a little bit.
Vanilla-ish.
Maybe not their best offering. If they're talking to me like, hey, should we do this again? I would say no. they have some other, the triple wood is really good. It's really potent, pungent. I don't have a triple wood here at the house. I may grab one, but that one goes about $150 a bottle. So I may not
What does this set us back?
This one's not bad. This one's like 50 bones. So,
okay.
It's not too bad. And I'm glad because
my voice just cracked as I said, okay, I think I'm finally hitting puberty. Okay.
But yeah, it really wasn't too bad. Getting to the actual scoring it out, I'm going to go ahead and put this one down right around about 85.
That's about where I would have put it. I'm going to go 87 just basically same ballpark as you.
And that just seems a little high. I mean, because part of it too for me is, I mean, it's 40, it's, you know, 40%, 80 proof. So it's not very strong, and not that it has to be strong, but typically with your better whiskeys, you're going to have a higher alcohol content. And then you match that with a relatively mild flavor. Nothing that really stands out to me. I'm going to put it in the middle of the ballpark, and especially knowing Akintoshin and some of their better offerings, to me, this is a step down for them. You know, and it's all, you know, experiments, right? I mean,
sure,
you don't know.
Sure.
I mean, this, you know, like this stuff, you put it in a barrel and it sits there for years, and you don't, you know, and once they do it, they, you know, unless it's brutal, like they got to put it out. So,
right.
I mean,
no doubt.
It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it was an experiment. I don't think it went particularly well, though I'm sure there's someone out there who is a big fan. But so that's why I give it an 85, which is, you know.
I guess because it has kind of a bourbon feel to it, maybe that's why I'm giving it a little bit more of a bump. I'll drop it to 86 in the interest of harmony. How's that?
It's not harmony.
I know. I'm goofing around.
All right. So, all right. Scored out. The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put these on Instagram. So by the time everyone is hearing this, I will have this up. So you can go to our Instagram account, Whiskey Congress, or at Whiskey Congress, and check out the bottles. I will do the Laphroaig and the Akintoshin. I'll do them in the same picture to see if we have some of the other bottles. Actually, we have all the bottles that we've...
Yeah, probably.
We've got them all. So I have to come to your...
Isla Jura bottle the other day.
That's okay. That's okay. We can... I don't... Because I don't know
I
if we actually...
That
yeah,
one.
We didn't. But no, we can... We have the other bottle, so I'll get over to your place and sip and snip.
Should we...
Snap some pictures.
Should we rescore the Laphroaig since it's sitting in front of us now and we've changed our scoring system?
Yeah, we could rescore. I mean, given our new scoring, I'm going to put it out of 91.
I was going to say 93. I'm always like a couple points more generous than you.
Just making it rain with points today.
I know.
In general,
I'm thinking of
get you to the script club.
Nothing wrong with going to a script club.
Pay for some girlies to go to school. No, we got to be careful with that conversation in today's climate. But
fair enough. Speaking of which,
yeah. But yeah, no, I would give it a 91. Very good. I think once you start getting above 90, whether it's
then every point has to be earned. Yeah,
it really does. And they do a lot with this, with this Laphroaig, from a flavor standpoint. But I think I got to get another bottle of the Laphroaig Lore.
Right, that was good stuff. We had that the night of the.
The bet pay.
I will say it was not the fight night. It was
no.
When Dave from Philly had to come in.
Yes,
and
the night the bet was paid. I got to get another bottle of that. I just thought that was phenomenal. I'd love to get it. You know, back. I mean, we sat there and we drank that bottle at your place. We probably took out more than half of it.
Yeah.
And
we had help.
Right. And then not much. Just Dave.
No,
right?
Wasn't.
I think he had like one little.
Okay, yeah, he didn't drink much. You're
and
right.
Then, and then we, you know, and then I think I took it home and, you know, called myself casually sipping on it and crushed it pretty quickly. So we got to get another bottle of that because I definitely want to get that, you know, in a sober environment and, you know, taste it out. And I want to talk about another thing too, and I'll get a picture of this. So I'm drinking mine out of a Glencairn glass, and the Glencairn glass is a special glass made for whiskeys or some of your, your higher end spirits. And it's a glass that's shaped like a teardrop. And the theory behind it is that it helps to really gather the smell, right? And
right.
Gather the nose.
Similar to a snifter.
Yeah. And it's similar sort of bulbous bottom, and then it, you know, gets narrow at the top, but then it kind of funnels that scent up to your nose. So you get a good whiff of what you're drinking
right
before you consume it. And if you're going to get into whiskey, I suggest that people, you know, grab, you know, one or two. Now they're kind of expensive. You know, I got mine at the World Market. I think there's World Markets. You can find those, you know, all over, but, or maybe not all over. But it's a cool thing to have. And I think it does add a little bit of nuance to the whole, you know, whiskey game. You know, I have a pair, and although I don't know why I have a pair, because I never, you don't get to use one.
I was gonna say, because you don't share with me, you bastard.
It's more for when my dad comes up. But you know, no offense, but
none taken. Know,
but
I'm drinking out of a rocks glass, and it's just fine.
With my name on it.
With your name, yeah. I was gonna point that out, but
monogrammed.
Yes, monogrammed rocks glass.
That was a gift. That was a gift from a good friend of mine.
Okay.
No, I'm not a whiskey snob. So you know, if I were a whiskey snob, I wouldn't share as much with you as I do. I was going through my whiskey collection. I was like, man,
you're taking a lot of shots of me right now.
A lot of my bottles are like way half empty, and I realized that, you know, since you and I started doing the show, I share more with you, because before I don't really have a lot of people who come over and can handle a lot of these whiskeys. Like, not they can't, like, they don't know what they're drinking and they can't handle it. There's some people who came over, if they you know, had a sip of this quarter cask, you know, I mean, they'd be on their ass. So, you know,
you met a friend of mine last night, Chris, the woman that was at my comedy show.
Oh yeah.
And she once asked me, you know, I've got a friend coming over. He's really loves scotches. Can you recommend something to me? And I recommended Lagavulin, and he loved it. And then the next time she saw him, it was at his place, and he, as a thank you for buying Lagavulin, gave her a different scotch. She took the glass, sniffed it, said, "This smells like a Band-Aid," and he literally yanked the glass back out of her hand, like, "None
as,
for you."
As he should have.
As he should have.
And he probably gave her something like Ardbeg or Laphroaig or something probably along those lines, which. Probably Laphroaig, because that's one that definitely does
kind of smell that, yeah.
Kind of smells like a Band-Aid.
It's kind of smells like a Band-Aid. It tastes wonderful.
So, whiskey review. We're going to go ahead and put that aside and jump into some more serious topics at this point in time. You know, you, it's well known on the show that you are into comedy.
Correct.
You do stand-up comedy. You perform stand-up comedy. You're into it. You follow the scene. You know, you had a show last night. I didn't make it.
You tried. But you can follow up on that later.
But the most recent allegations about sexual harassment. Really started with Harvey Weinstein, and it's
Kevin Spacey, and it just started taking out.
Right. I mean, and you know, all the creeps are kind of being called out, and Louis C.K. Pretty well-known comedian. If you don't know who he is, he had a show on FX. He had a show on HBO ages ago. He's been in some movies. He's got a lot of stand-up. He's a, you know, big kind of average-looking guy, red hair, very self-deprecating. But he's a very intelligent guy. But he apparently just has that creep side to him where... You know, he was whipping his dick out and masturbating in front of women. Now, he
allegedly
asked
permission first, which might be the difference between a crime and a creep.
No, it's not. It, you know, when you're in a position of power over someone, that kind of eliminates that whole distinction. But aside from that, you're still, I mean, it's still pretty unacceptable what he did. Just because he asked their permission before he did it, I mean, is that the standard?
Well,
right?
No.
Like
hey,
I'm gonna ask you before I whip my dick out, or I'm gonna ask you before I grab your tit. And
it's
as long
better.
As you say,
it's better than not asking.
Okay.
Right.
I mean. Listen, look, I am just going to throw this out there. Be careful going down this road. Listen, this is my thoughts on this.
All right.
And I think you know this. We talked about it in the past. Got to be zero tolerance on that sort of behavior, right? Just because he asked, come on, that's bullshit. Locker room, you know, late 80s, slick back hair, driving a
you're gonna say a Z28, aren't you? Aren't you?
No, I was gonna say a DeLorean, but
okay.
That's an old school way of thinking, which is what gets a lot of guys your age, right? I mean, because you're about 10 years older than me, and it's
right.
Just like that, like, well, why is that not okay? I asked, like. All right, that's not how this works. So,
the distinction is, I didn't say it. All right, finish your point. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So, I think we got to be careful going down that road of he asked, and so he should get some sort of a point for that. You shouldn't get a point for that because it just shouldn't be out. Like, if you want to, listen, I'm not gonna give anybody a hard time about wanting to have sex with an attractive woman that you work with or that you're around or whatever, right? But there are certain standards that we have in society that if you want to get there, that you need to use, right? Like you gotta be in a position where it makes sense. Like I don't even understand how do you do that? Like, hey, I'm just gonna whip my dick out and start jerking off. Is that cool? Like, I mean, is this happening office?
There's
like,
so many things about this that are not cool, and I.
There's nothing about it that's cool.
That's what I'm saying,
right? I mean,
first of all, there have been rumors about Louis C.K. and inappropriate actions for a long time.
Yes.
And someone like me, who is a huge fan of him as an artist, it's one of those things where for years I can say I knew it was probably true. I really didn't want it to be true. I still don't.
Okay, well, he came out and said that.
I'm not saying it's not. It clearly is. I mean, you sent me the article, I read it. He came out and said, essentially, these things are true. I always did ask permission, but I realized that I was in a position of power over these people, which makes it unacceptable.
It's funny, because he didn't put that statement out before, you know, we had a conversation, and what did I, like, I said the exact same thing, right? Like, just because you asked, because he's in a position of power, none of this is okay. And the reason why I'm calling you out, because I know that you're a fan.
Yes.
And it's hard because you're a fan. If you weren't a fan of his, you would be ripping him a new one, right? I mean, if you weren't a fan, it would be easy for you.
I'm probably being defensive, yeah.
Right. I mean,
what's funny is, if you asked me a month ago, name your 10 favorite people in show business, Jeremy Piven, Kevin Spacey, and Louis C.K.
would be
almost
on that
certainly
list.
Would have made that top 10. They might have been in the top 5. So for me, I mean, again, for me, I'm not the victim here. I'm not claiming that I've been wrong, but for me personally, as a fan, it's been a disappointing.
Well, listen, this is what I'll say. I've been through this. I'm a Steeler fan. Ben Roethlisberger has been accused of rape twice, and
the allegations were pretty. Gross. I read that police report. It was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, the allegations were really bad. And at the time, I said, listen, if he did it, and, you know, like, then he needs to be punished for it. Now, he ended up not. I mean, he got suspended by the league, but from a criminal standpoint, the case ended up falling apart. I didn't applaud it. I didn't think it was good. And if you ask me right now, listen, I'll tell you, he's a creep. But at the same time, he's still playing. So he's a quarterback. Do your job. You know, if the Steelers win, I root for it. Like, I wouldn't go out. I wouldn't want to meet him. I have no desire to talk to him. If I saw him, okay. And I'm perfectly fine with that. And people think, oh, no, if you saw him, you'd be a fanboy. No, I wouldn't, because I know in my heart that he's probably not a good person. So I can detach. I guess the point is I can detach myself, right? And that's not – now, listen, that's not good either. Right, I mean, like because I can detach myself, like I can do it. And a lot of people will tell you that might be just as harmful, if not more harmful, than being defensive of your guy. Right, because I can tell you on the one hand, absolutely send him to jail if you can figure out a way to get him in jail. But at the same time, as long as he's on the field, I'm going to cheer for him as a player. Period. What I'm telling you is, you can be disgusted by Louis C.K.'s behavior. You know, and everything else, but still go back and watch his comedy and think it's fucking hilarious. I think. Now, there are other people who say that you need to burn everything
and
go scorched earth.
Everything that has been recently associated with Kevin Spacey is getting shut down. They're reshooting a movie in which he played, I think it was John Paul Getty.
Which is crazy, right? Because I think that movie's set to be released in like a month.
It was, and instead they're just going to reshoot the scenes, and it's going to be someone else doing the role Kevin Spacey was assigned to. Louis C.K. had a movie that was about to come out, which
shut down, not coming out.
He had a new one-hour comedy special coming to Netflix, shut down. I've got mixed feelings about that, because
shut it down.
Why not tell him we're going to release this, and every dollar this makes is going to a cause of our choosing.
You can't do that because of the way the contracts are set up. You can't like.
You can shut it down?
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's because at that point, you shut it down, there's no money made. Once you, if you're going to keep going with it and you make money, then you're, I mean, so.
Couldn't you give him, in this case, Louis, a chance to, quote unquote,
no,
do the right thing? And
No, you have to shut it down. Like, this is why you have to do it. Because for years, we haven't done things like this. We've known people are creeps and assholes, and we've known guys are doing shitty things, and we don't shut their movies down. There's no punishment for them. And the only way to punish these guys is to shut their movies down, is to hit them in the pockets, is to publicly ridicule
and
them.
Take away their voice is what's really happening.
Right. I mean,
I'm not saying you shouldn't.
But you have to take away their platform, right? Now, Louis C.K. did the right thing. He came out. He owned it. He did a good job of owning it. I didn't have a problem with his statement. I didn't feel that it wasn't sincere. I felt that it was very sincere. I did get hung up on the fact that he literally said, I pulled out my dick, and when I pulled out my dick, I did this, and you probably shouldn't pull out your dick. Like, there was something about the way it read was, like, in knowing him as a comic, they were small little jabs, which I thought it was frustrating because I thought it was funny. Maybe he wasn't trying to be, but knowing him, I think there was a kind of a F you, because knowing that this was going to go out on the Washington Post, LA Times, and New York Times, all that other stuff, in places where people don't normally curse or use offensive language, he said, I'm going to use a little bit of offensive language, and you're going to have to put it out because it's my statement. Right. I mean, so you're either going to edit it or you're going to let it stand. Either way, I'm going to get the word dick into the New York Times or the Washington Post or whatever. So, I don't have a problem with their shit getting shut down. I like Kevin Spacey. I like House of Cards. We've talked about it. I love The Usual Suspects. It's one of my top 10 all-time favorite movies. I hated American Beauty only because that's what won the...
Best Picture.
It won Best Picture over The Hurricane, actually.
Gladiator won over Hurricane.
Sure?
I'm not 100%, but I thought that was a whole...
Oh, well, something... I think
Gladiator won... No, I'm sorry. It was Training Day won over Gladiator, and people lost their minds. And the next year, Beautiful Mind won over Hurricane. So right. It was like Denzel over Crow over Denzel, and then they made a movie together that...
Right, which should have won everything.
Right.
American Gangster was ridiculous. But I got to watch that again soon. I just, you got to blot that shit, Jim. Right? It's fucking alpaca. You got to blot it.
You got to blot that shit.
Anyway.
I heard block. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Blot.
Blot that shit.
Yeah, but so I'm not opposed to shutting down anything that they have coming out because there has to be a punishment. You have to pay a price, right? For years, I knew nothing about Harvey Weinstein. I really didn't. I had heard the name.
I'd heard the name, too.
I didn't know what he did. I couldn't affiliate anything with him. You know, we're not in the Hollywood scene at all.
Which brings me back to, what did he do? I guess he ran a studio, which means you're in a power position, but what does that job really mean? You're not...
I don't know. What the fuck funding is it? What does an executive producer do? Right. All I know is
collects a check.
Right. All I know is that if you're an executive producer on a movie on a blockbuster, like you get paid. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you do it. But apparently that's what we need to do. We can't run guns, Jim.
Right. No, I'd much rather be an executive producer.
Right. If we can't hang with Vlad over in Moscow, then let's go be executive producers in Hollywood.
Not anybody. And we can stick to that pledge. But I mean, part of one of the recent things that led to Louis getting into the public spotlight for being a serial masturbator, for lack of a better way of saying it, was Tig Notaro. He was an executive producer on a show that she was doing. And she said, basically, I want his name off my show until he gets his shit together. Tig Notaro is a very successful female comedian. And that made a splash. And when Louis was questioned about that, he said, there's no safe way for me to, no way for me to respond to that. I can't deny,
How long ago was this?
5 months, 4 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea who Tig Notaro is. Tig Notaro to say, I want Louis C.K.'s name off my show. That's not fucking crazy.
She's the star of a show called One Mississippi. She's a female comedian from Mississippi, and a lot of her jokes are about being a gay woman brought up in a Southern traditional family.
Like, shorter woman, shorter hair, yes, dark hair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think she's a cancer survivor
as well.
Yes. So I do. So I am familiar with her. But it's still crazy that, you know, she's got her own certain level of fame, but it's not Louis C.K. fame. And for her to say, I mean, in the last year, get his name off my show, I mean, that's saying something. That's fucking nuts. So these allegations, it's starting to feel like this shit isn't, like, old. It's, like, current.
Well, it was kind of like Cosby. It was in the rumor mill for a long time, but no one ever came out and said anything. Tig Notaro was the first one to make a, even though she didn't say anything specific, she said basically he needs to get his life together before I want him associated with my show. But he was an executive producer, which I think means he sat in on meetings about production and never did anything else again.
I don't know if we know anything. We don't know enough about that process.
I heard him say something to the effect of he had not been associated with that show in a year and a half or something like that. And yet his name's on it.
Well, either way.
It's good work if you can get it.
Executive producing, role.
Not the jerking off in front of people who don't want to see your dick.
I have an associate, a friend. She's a female powerlifter out in California, and she is a domestic abuse survivor. She also suffers from lupus, but actually deals with it using cannabis and cannabinoid oils and stuff like that.
CBD or whatever?
CBD, yeah. But she actually stopped powerlifting because she needed to lose weight and do something. Anyway, but she's also well-regarded in the fitness industry, and she's doing a clinic at a gym out in California. And it's for women. It's about women empowerment. And the women doing the presenting at the show are all in fitness. The other concurrent theme is that they are women in fitness, but they are also survivors of domestic abuse, sexual abuse, rape, eating disorders, things like that. And there's probably, I think there's like 10 presenters. And, you know, you see all these women's names on this thing, and you're like, it's just like in every one of them, you know, elite level powerlifter or figure competitor or personal trainer, nutritionist, whatever, and domestic abuse survivor, sexual abuse survivor, rape survivor. And aside from saying that, like, it's just written out there. I mean, it's 10 women that are going to sit on a panel right next to each other that all had to deal with that. But then on, you know, the Instagram post, you go through and there were hundreds of comments from women. Oh, my God, this is great. I'm a domestic abuse survivor. Oh, my God, this is great. I'm a sexual abuse survivor. I want to go. And you saw it over and over and over and over again. And reading it made me sick to my stomach.
Did you realize how widespread it was?
You look at the number of women who deal with it. Now, listen, there's a caveat of there are women who have, you know, lied about sexual abuse or domestic abuse or whatever. And I think that is a very small percentage of women who have done that. But when you have the number of women that you have that are coming out and that are telling stories that are just fucking awful, like, you can't make this shit up, and you see how widespread it is, that's why Louis C.K. doesn't get to release his movie. That's why Kevin Spacey gets pulled out of a movie, because at some point in time, if we want to change, we're not going to be able to get anything done on the gun violence. I don't know why. I mean, fucking kids die in a fucking school, I do know why, but it's still fucking crazy, right? But at the very least, at least we're seeing in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry that these guys' bad behavior isn't rewarded with, yeah, you did something really shitty, so we're going to release your movie and just deal with it, right? Like, no, it's like you don't get to release your movie. You don't get to walk the red carpet and plead your case and, you know, smile at the camera, look really good in the tuxedo, and get your Academy Award and walk off the stage and do some lame apology. No, you just don't get it. You don't get anything that's associated with that. Like, you have to step away and step back. I don't know how long. I don't know how long Kevin Spacey has to step back. I don't know how long Louis C.K. will have to step back. I don't know how long, you know, hopefully Harvey Weinstein probably needs to go to jail.
I don't think. See, right. Here's one thing that I'm going to say, and get mad if you want. But to put Louis C.K. and Harvey Weinstein in the same pot, I think is unfair.
Louis C.K. did it himself.
Okay, but
I'm not putting him in the same pot. His behavior put them in the same pot.
Harvey Weinstein is accused of physically, sexually assaulting women.
Okay, but yes, but listen, it's a big pot that has layers.
Okay. All right. Louis on a different layer
right,
than Harvey Weinstein.
But it's the same pot, right? Like, women have to feel safe around men, right? And I'm getting, I am starting to understand that there are a lot of women who don't feel safe in my presence, and it has zero to do with me. It's not because I'm big and I'm black. It's because they have been abused by someone else, and so that person has then put them in a position where that woman now needs to feel defensive around men because she can't trust us because someone else violated that trust. And there's a lot of women out there who've experienced it, and maybe they can get over it. And maybe they do feel safe around me, and maybe I do a good enough job to make them feel safe in my presence. But the fact that it's even a fucking issue, the fact that it's even a discussion, it's something in their brain. Do I feel safe around him? And the reason for not feeling safe is previous experience. That's a problem.
Oh, it's a huge problem. I'm not denying the problem at all.
Louis C.K. put himself in the pot with Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, but as long as we're going to say that, I'll take layers. Right.
There's layers.
What he did was gross.
There's levels to this shit, son.
Well, I guess you could easily say, you know, if Louis C.K., I don't believe will be charged with a crime. Do you think he will?
I don't know the time frames.
Some of his stuff is recent enough. Like that. I mean, the problem with Kevin Spacey allegations is they're 30 years old.
Right.
So
with some of the allegations with these different entertainers, a lot of it, like from a criminal and even a civil standpoint, the issue is going to be time. Right. It all depends on the state that it happened in and what their laws are or what their laws are on the statute of limitations.
And that was a big deal with Cosby, right? There was like only one or two of the cases that was still in the statute.
So if something is beyond the statute of limitations, you can't bring a case, right? Whether it's criminal or civil, like there's only a certain amount of time that can pass and you can still, you know, charge a person with a crime or sue them for whatever it is. And so, you know, the only thing notwithstanding, I think, is murder.
I think you're right about that.
Murder, there may be something else that I'm leaving out. I feel like there's something, I don't know. To transition, Roy Moore, running for Senate.
Senate hopeful from Alabama. You
know, trying to take over that seat of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions. Roy Moore was accused of, you know, sexual contact with a 14-year-old. He was 32 at the time. This was back in the 70s. Right. And in Alabama, the statute of limitations has ran criminally and civilly. Right.
All right.
And so, that's a 32-year-old with a child. So, you know, I mean, like, every state is different. And so in a lot of these cases, if they've happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, some of these, like I think in Alabama, it's only 3 years, which I think is ridiculous.
For statutory rape?
Yeah.
If that's true, that's shocking.
I think the statute of limitations on rape allegations in Alabama, criminal or civil, I think is around 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's part of your problem. And that's where, you know, feminists and people arguing for shit like this is, you know, these women get pushed into a corner where they feel they can't say anything, and it takes them years to get into a position to feel comfortable and confident enough to be able to come out and say that they were a victim. And the downside of it, one of many downsides of it, is by the time that they're able to say something, like, think of, you're a 14-year-old girl.
Right.
Right. I mean, and there were...
Your 14-year-old girl in Alabama in 1979.
There was a state official in the state of Alabama who said that you don't get to be a victim 30 years later, 40 years later, right? Like, he said, you don't get to be a victim 40 years later. Like, why is she coming out now? I don't, basically saying he didn't believe her because it took her so long to say something and wants to throw it out just based on the amount of time that's passed. You know, and then he turned around and said that she should be prosecuted because it's, and I think it's like the state treasurer or something like that, and we can look it up and tell you exactly who said it. But I mean, it's insane, right? He's saying, and he said that the victim should be prosecuted because if this did happen and she didn't say anything, then he's been allowed to be a predator for that amount of time, and it's her fault. So therefore, she should be prosecuted. Not him. Not the guy who did it. Right, not the guy who was 32 at the time, who's now 70, who's lying about or could be lying about what he did or did not do.
Right,
right. I mean, it is unbelievable some of these people's reaction.
This is when you put politics ahead of reality or what's in front of your own face, right? Because and you know how much I hate to do the "what if our guy had done this," and Bill Clinton was accused of plenty of pretty pervy things. He was charged with some of them. I mean, was he ever charged in Paula Jones?
No.
Okay. He was sued, and I believe not found liable for that. Maybe it's, I don't remember. I mean, the Monica Lewinsky thing, for as much attention as that caused, no one ever doubted that was a consensual affair. The problem was it was a married guy who was president getting a blowjob in the White House. But people always do the, you know, When it's your guy, and you could maybe accuse me of doing this with Louis C.K. just a minute ago, that I'm maybe kid-gloving him a bit because I'm a fan.
You are.
Okay. But this reaction to Roy Moore, if Roy Moore was Bill Clinton, they'd be asking for the death penalty and calling the accuser a hero. I don't believe Democrats have done anything quite that egregious in terms of blaming the victim and asking to prosecute a victim, but this is purely a political thing, and Roy Moore is, he's the dude who whipped out a handgun at a campaign or a primary campaign rally and while wearing his big old cowboy hat, and now the story comes out, and he is the Senate nominee for Alabama. That race is over. So I don't know what happens if he steps down. Do they have another primary?
They'd have to do a write-in.
Which might actually put a Democratic senator in the front run of an Alabama Senate race, which would be pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, right now that race is deadlocked, which 6 months ago it was not. Not 6 months ago, but right after the primary.
Okay.
Roy Moore had a pretty decent lead, but right now the race is deadlocked. Looking at earlier, people are jumping off the Roy Moore bandwagon very quickly. Now, Breitbart, now you need to know that
Mitt Romney has called for him to step down.
Well, and so is John McCain, but that's not too much of a surprise.
Right.
Roy Moore is heavily backed by Stephen K. Bannon and Breitbart.
Right.
And so Breitbart is trying to spin this as the Washington Post, and this is the liberal media and the left
fake
attacking
news.
You know, a Breitbart-backed candidate, and all this is exactly fake news. Now, the problem that they have is Roy Moore, first he denied it, then he said he didn't remember anything like that, and he said this behavior, if true, would be out of his character.
Roy Moore said that?
Bannon
said that about Roy Moore.
Roy Moore said that on Sean Hannity's show. I don't remember anything like that. I don't remember this girl. If I did do that, that would be very out of my character.
Was he married at the time? Not that this really matters.
I don't know.
Okay. You know what? And that doesn't fucking matter.
No,
if you sexually impose yourself on a 14-year-old girl when you're 32,
right.
You're a fucking
scumbag.
You pick
her up from her house. You take her to your house back in the woods. You get naked. You strip down to your skivvies and have her stroke your dick. Like, I'm sorry.
That's
a crime. Right, I mean, we can't. We may not be able to criminally prosecute you for it right now, but I don't know. Not cool. Now the other thing is,
what you just described on Hannity's show sounds like the textbook definition of a non-denial. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. That doesn't sound like something I would do. Well, it's good that it doesn't sound like something you would consider your character, because that would be a character flaw.
Right. And then he didn't remember, and then it doesn't, so Exactly. Like, I mean, I think, now the other thing is, word on the street from a good friend of mine that's very well tied into DC politics and media and everything else, that something else is coming down the pipe about Roy Moore. And apparently he's already been asked to give
a
comment.
Can you reveal?
I don't know. He didn't tell me what it was.
Oh, okay.
He may or may not know exactly what it is, but apparently the Washington Post and other media outlets have another story that's coming down the pipe, and Roy Moore has been asked to comment on it. He has refused to comment on it, and we'll see.
You know, this goes to the whole, there's not a lot of people who were scumbags once. If you're the kind of guy who would pick up a 14-year-old, if 32 years of age, if you would pick up a 14-year-old, drive her to a remote location in your house, which suggests to me that maybe he wasn't married. Again, I don't know why I keep bringing that up, because who fucking cares?
If he wasn't married?
Right, exactly. Like, that would, well, that was not so bad. At least he respects his marital vows. Sure, he creeped on a 14-year-old girl, but he wouldn't do this other awful thing. The likelihood that he would do that revolting thing once and never do anything else, I find unlikely. Yes. So, and I mean, kind of, that's what happened with Kevin Spacey, right? He gets alleged, accused of, you know,
Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein,
manhandling a 14-year-old boy, and it was like, oh no, Kevin Spacey's saying ain't true. Kevin Spacey says, look, I was drinking a lot in those days. I don't remember this. If I did it, I'm really sorry. So it's essentially the same thing. And liberal Hollywood didn't exactly turn a blind eye to Kevin Spacey. And Roy Moore is getting the benefit of the doubt from some, not all, of his posse.
Well, I think a lot of the response to Roy Moore is the whole, if it's true, that's not good. But, you know, in the meantime, let's just go status quo. There's a lot of that, right? Like, everybody say, if it's true, he should step down. But, you know, if it's true, right? And good luck proving it. It happened, you know, 40 years ago.
Right.
You know, the woman, she's standing by her story. He's saying he didn't do it. How else are you going to find out? I mean, it was 1975 or whatever, 79, right? I mean, a fucking year before I was even fucking born. So how are you really going to find out if this is true or not? This is the classic he said, she said.
There are other women involved, though.
But those women are older, right?
Right.
Like their stories are, you know, they were 17, 18 years old. And
No. There are other women who corroborate this woman's story. Like, she told her friends.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. There are other women. Even the mother, right?
Right.
Right. Now, he's saying none of that ever happened. But the problem is that, as I understand it, the mother of the woman who was 14 at the time this happened did have a divorce case in the courthouse where Roy Moore, I believe, was a prosecutor. His office was there. It was like right around the corner from where this was going on. So, I mean, there's enough circumstantial.
Right. So the story goes, he told the mother, if you don't want your daughter to see this awful thing in a courtroom where the bad things are going to get said about you, I'll sit outside here with her. She thinks, oh, what a nice man. He's going to, you know, keep an eye on my daughter for me. He then gets the girl's phone number, calls her, and sets this up.
Yes.
So, I mean, that adds elements of sketchiness to it as well.
Right.
I mean, not defending Kevin Spacey, but what someone does when they're blitzed out hammered in a Hollywood party versus making a phone call and stalking a 14-year-old.
You got to stop doing that. You got to stop, Jim. You got to stop doing that. Right? Like, we can't, like, yes, there are degrees of bad behavior and there are degrees of sexual assault, but we can't, like, none of it is acceptable.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's different.
Okay, but when you say it, the optic is that you're defending it. You're not saying it, but it's just like you. It's like right now you're in a sinking ship, and you are literally just grasping at anything that you could hold on to, because these are people that you like, right? You like Kevin Spacey.
I do.
You like Louis C.K. And that's where I think listen,
is my statement wrong?
I'm not saying it's wrong, but you're getting, this is how it looks from the outside. This is how it looks to me. This is how it looks to other people who may not actually care about or like these people, or how it looks to women, right? How it looks like you're don't put him in the same boat. Don't put him in the same category as this guy. Like, I can't speak for women. I don't want to. That's why I try to keep us away from, you know, certain issues, just because I don't like to speak or speak in their voice. But what I'm hearing when you say don't put Louis C.K. in the same boat as this guy, don't put Kevin Spacey with this guy, this makes it different than this guy, you're carving out space and trying to buffer them and pad them and protect them, which is part of the problem.
I'm really trying to push Roy Moore further down. I'm not trying to elevate Kevin Spacey. I'm pushing Roy Moore down.
But it's almost like you're on a seesaw. In order to get Roy Moore down, you have, like, Kevin Spacey has to go up based off if you're going to use him in comparison. Right? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
I understand what you're saying. If it's coming off that way, that's not how I'm intending it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would stay away from it, just because I think that's a disservice to the you know, two women that listen to our show.
There's more than two.
The three women that listen to our show, as a disservice to them, especially if they've had, I mean, chances are they're women. I know a couple women that listen to our show, who I would have to imagine they're both, you know, attractive women. I would have to imagine they've dealt with some sort of improper contact. No matter, bad it was, I don't know. But, I mean, I'm sure it's there. So we just need to be respectful of that fact and not try to identify the degrees of how bad someone is and just say, listen, none of it is acceptable. There are degrees of sexual misconduct.
Right.
But none of it is acceptable. None of it is okay. It's all bad. And that's where we really need to hang our hat on. And be okay with calling people out for being assholes.
Sure. So what? Let's talk about the one person in this avalanche of allegations that really stands out from the rest. Terry Crews.
Wow. Okay.
You know the story, right?
Yeah, I do know the story. So you want to talk about opposite end of the spectrum,
right?
So Terry, I'm sure if you don't know who Terry Crews is, he's a ripped black guy in the Old Spice commercials. He was, you know, the first time we saw him on film was the Friday after Next. It was like the third installment of the Friday movies. Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Mike Epps, all those guys. So hilarious, by the way. Cat Williams before he, you know, got a little too into crack. But Terry, Terry Crews
was also in the newsroom in the first season.
He was in newsroom.
He was on played President of the United States in Idiocracy.
Actually, he was in both seasons. Terry Crews was, because that show was only on two seasons. You're right. So it was two seasons, two and three. He wasn't in the first.
No, you're wrong. It was definitely the end of season one. He's walking away with Will McAvoy. Will McAvoy asked him how.
Because they got out of the car, right? They got out.
Yeah, how much are they paying you? And he's like $1,500 a week, and he's like, "I wouldn't take a bullet for that. Neither would I, pal." So he learned to duck.
Great line. So Terry Crews was in Newsroom. He was he's the Old Spice commercials, Friday movie. He was on a show on TBS, another Ice Cube production, I think.
Was it Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or was he on something else?
He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is on Fox now. But there was a TBS show. An Ice Cube show. Are we there yet? Or so? I don't know.
One of those shows. Anyway, that's who Terry Crews is. But he's large, muscular black man.
Right. I think he played football at Western Michigan. He played in the league for a year or two, and then was a bodyguard. And then that's how they found him in Hollywood or whatever. But his story is he was at a party with his wife.
Right.
And an executive producer came up to him and grabbed his dick at a party and right in front of his wife.
Right.
And kind of laughed about it, then walked away. Right. Which is also sexual harassment. That is literally the equivalent of walking up to a woman, taking two fingers and, you know, jamming it up her hoo-ha. So
grabbing her by the pussy, so to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like pulling an old DT. So Terry Crews, when the stories came out about Harvey Weinstein, told his story via Twitter. it was a series of maybe like 10 tweets where he laid the story out, what happened to him, how it made him feel, how he felt essentially powerless. He couldn't say anything about the guy because he didn't want his career to be tanked or impacted. He felt, you know, emasculated in front of his wife.
Right.
Like
he also said his initial response was to jack the guy up, but he knew that would cost him.
Right. Like that, like really like doing what, I mean, like my same response, I would have done the same. I would have felt the same exact way is go rip that guy's head off. But, you know, I mean, you're a large black man. You go and you rip some rich executive producer's head off in public. Then that is the end of everything. Right.
Right.
Like, no one's going to believe that he just grabbed your dick, and you're probably not only is your career done, you're probably going to go to jail. So he told his story via Twitter, put it out there, and it got, I mean, it was just along with everything that was going on with Rose McGowan and everybody else who was telling their stories about Harvey Weinstein, and Terry Crews comes out with his story, and you're just like, Jesus, I mean, like, what the fuck is going on in Hollywood, right? I mean, it's
there is one major difference here, right, and that is not to in any way disrespect Terry Crews, but he did not feel physically threatened by, I mean, there's one thing to be alone in a room with Harvey Weinstein where you don't know what's going to happen versus in public with the fact that this guy is someone you could physically destroy. You don't think that matters? Because I think it does.
No, it doesn't, because I think the people that Kevin, I mean, I think there were people who weren't physically threatened by Kevin Spacey. I think there were women
fearful of his actions, though. Right, at least in some cases.
Right, I mean, but even like you brought up Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven is a fucking runt of a human being. He's smaller than a lot of women, but you still aren't going to speak out of him because
the allegations against him are pretty ugly and do involve physically pinning a woman down and grinding one out on her shirt.
But again, it's how hard did she fight back? Not because she was completely
tiny. Also.
Right, I mean, there's just like Yes, so to your point, Terry Crews, absolutely, it wasn't about physical control.
Fear.
But that's not what sexual abuse is about, right? Sexual abuse usually is more about power, the power that the abuser has over the victim. That's the part that is key. So where it's different, it's still the exact same fucking story. Right, because Terry Crews, yes, he could absolutely go rip that guy's head off, but he is still Terry Crews, the victim, is still rendered powerless because of the power of the executive producer.
What does it say about? I mean, you just said what the fuck's going on in Hollywood. What is going through someone's mind? And the answer is probably a shit ton of cocaine and alcohol. But what is going through someone's mind when they look at Terry Crews and say, "I'm gonna go grab his dick"?
What's going through their mind is, "I've made $1 billion for a studio. I'm one of the most powerful people in Hollywood, or I'm a powerful person in Hollywood. I am untouchable.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
I feel like grabbing,
I'm going to do this line of cocaine off of this Dalmatian's ass. I'm going to go slap a stripper. I'm going to go do a shot of champagne that costs, you know, $5,000 a bottle. And then I'm going to go grab Terry Crews' dick." That is what's going through their mind.
It's hard for me.
I don't know where the Dalmatian came from.
That's also interesting.
I don't know. But listen, the way this shit sounds, I feel like that's actually not that far off. I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do a line of cocaine off a Dalmatian because I'm just deathly allergic, especially to those dogs. I'd have to do it off like a Labradoodle or something.
Find a hairless dog that doesn't shed.
Not necessarily hairless. It's just got to be a hypoallergenic dog. Okay. Which those are hard to find.
Keep that in mind for your future parties with Steve. If you're going to bring lines of coke out, bring them on hypoallergenic dogs. All right.
You don't even
devolved,
don't bring a dog. I just would prefer to do it on somebody's ass.
Devolved badly.
A woman's
ass. Yes, thank you.
Gave me permission.
A consenting coke ass adult. A consenting coke ass. I want to talk real quick. I wrote something about what's going on in Lebanon on WhiskeyCongress.com today, and
the image I just got in my head is people just throwing their hands up like, "What the fuck, Jim?"
Did we have more to say about this? I thought we were ending with you sniffing coke off a consenting ass. I think that's punctuation right there. That's where conversations stop.
The end of the show.
And any transition I can do to get us off that is probably doing you a favor.
Fair. And Lebanon, it is.
Real quick, please read the story. Lebanon is at serious risk of becoming the site of a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Explain what a proxy war is.
A proxy war is when you use your influence to cause or to engage in armed conflict on someone else's territory, usually using someone else's people.
Who would be rendering the influence?
Iran and Saudi Arabia.
Agreed. I agree. I mean, I think that's a real. I think that's a very real threat. I think it is a very. Now, I think it's a real threat, but I think that Saudi Arabia has a lot of control over that happening, and I think that if our assertions are true from our last show of what of what the royal family actually wants to accomplish by doing what they're doing, then I think in their mind, they want to prevent a proxy war. They want to prevent any additional war and violence in the country that they can. And so that's where...
You mean in Saudi Arabia or in...
Anywhere, I think, Saudi Arabia or Lebanon. Like, why would they actually want that to happen? Like, I think that if they can control... I think their thought is if we can control what's going on in-house, right, and get rid of the people that are basically sabotaging us from within... Then we can get a hold on, or we can get our arms around and control of these situations and prevent additional violence from breaking out. Because in reality, just because a war is not happening in Saudi Arabia, a war in the region still doesn't help them, right? It still causes them problems.
Yeah, and so this is where I just want to say, we said on our last show, keep an eye on this. I think this is the next... domino to fall, or next card to get played is probably a better way to say it, in that region. And shit could get real ugly real fast. And it's important for Americans to know about this. It's important for the American State Department to, you know, be open and honest and, you know, keep things on the up and up.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much, like I said, I put the article out there today. And I wanted to get it out there on this episode because we talked about it last one.
All right. So thank you for the update on Lebanon. And it is important. I think it's important.
Thank
that
you
we,
for sincere thanks.
I do think it's important that we continue to track it. We follow it. We kind of because I think. Depending on what happens, if we continue to track it, good or bad, you can go back and piece through step by step what happened from, you know, last week all the way until, let's say, a year from now. And maybe things turn out really well. We can say, hey, we finally have peace in the Middle East, or it's a fucking disaster and it's war all over the place. And you can go through our show, listen, and realize what was going on. So I think it's important that we track it. I think that was an important update. It's not that fun.
What is fun, Steve?
You know what is fun?
What is fun?
Listen, I don't know if we have anybody that's hypersensitive, right? And I think there's some people out there who are hypersensitive who, you know, like the whole shaming crowd, right? Like, and so I don't want to shame anybody, and I don't take this the wrong way. But they had to weigh Donald Trump before his trip to Asia.
Like, because he was getting on a certain size plane?
No, you want to make sure, like, they do it for health and security reasons, right? Like, you take all his vitals.
So the State Department does it.
The State Department does it to know, like, to have a benchmark. He goes on a trip to make sure, obviously, he doesn't get poisoned or something like that. But then if he does get sick, then they can figure it out. But they need to know certain things. So they weighed him. Jim, how much do you weigh?
About 225.
All right,
and I'm 20 pounds overweight.
Fair. I weigh 304 today, midday. So you know I'm probably about 299, 298 or so.
All right.
And I'll tell you that I'm about 20 pounds overweight. Right now, some people hear that number, they're like, "How the fuck do you say you're only 20 pounds overweight?"
But, believe it or not,
But I should be right around about 275, 270. Right. My goal is to get there probably by like February.
I did enjoy you and Mike Wood discussing your weight two shows ago, by the way.
So, but I mean, but here's the thing. It's well known on the show. I'm a power lifter. I lift very, very heavy weight on a pretty consistent basis.
If you consider 800 pounds heavy, whatever.
Okay. You know, I can run a 10-minute mile. You know, which is, it's not blazing, right?
But
I mean, they're going to make a movie about it, but you know, I can run an eight minute mile on a treadmill.
Okay.
And I could probably actually, it's actually easier for me to run outside, but with my allergies, like I need closed environment. I run outside and I breathe like too much pollen in the air walk past a dog. It's fucking awful. So anyway, I'm about 300 pounds, all right?
But right.
A guy who works out pretty regularly.
You're about 5'10", 5'11".
Yep. And Donald Trump, our president,
who
he got weighed in.
Okay. Now, he's a big guy. He's like 6'3", right?
Yeah, he goes 6'3", 6'4". I don't know. I'd actually never seen him in person. He weighed in at 345.
That's...
He 345.
That is an offensive tackle.
I mean,
literally, that's an offensive tackle that's told to lose weight.
That's
Casey a defensive tackle. Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's Orlando Brown. Well, no, Orlando Brown probably. Orlando Brown's kid, by the way, baller, bigger than his dad.
Where's he playing?
Either. I think Alabama, I think.
Okay, wow. All right.
Pretty sure it's Alabama. But aside from that,
Trump at 345.
Yeah.
So you are fat shaming. On the other hand, I mean, all right, let's be real.
Jim, he claimed to be, he told us.
I'm the healthiest president ever. If I ever come to president, I will be the healthiest man ever. And I will swear that I saw that report, which was goofy, and it listed him at 265. That would mean he's gained 80 pounds since the...
You know what? But we saw this with Clinton, right? Clinton got fat. Clinton put on 60 easy from...
He put on a lot of weight, yeah.
He lost it, though. I mean, I do remember when he was going out running, but he would go out and run, stop, and get a Big Mac.
McGriddle. I think it was a McGriddle.
Sausage McMuffin. Like, I don't think they had McGriddles then. But, yeah, it's whatever. Like, he would stop at McDonald's to eat on his runs. But, I mean, he lost a lot of weight, but I think he also had a heart attack. I know he had some heart complications.
He had heart
complications. And he's slim and trim. But I think the reason I bring it up is, you know, Trump made the claim of how healthy he is and was and blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't drink and he takes care of his body. Like, listen, I'm a guy who I take decent care of my body, right? Like, I mean, I do a podcast called Whiskey Congress. I drink whiskey. I drink beer. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, so I love pizza. And if you don't understand what that means Youngstown, Ohio has the best pizza in the world. So fuck off.
Objection.
If you don't believe. You're from fucking Buffalo. Go fuck yourself.
Great fucking pizza in Buffalo.
Get the fuck
you don't
out
know
of
what
here.
All right, you're crazy.
Please.
Now you're going to tell me your wings are better.
I won't tell you that.
Okay, good.
Only because, I mean, Buffalo wings come from Buffalo.
Yeah, they were.
That's
kind
the
of...
only reason, but I...
But in all seriousness, Trump is well known for having childish and impulsive eating styles, right? Well-done steak with ketchup, which is fucking disgusting. Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I mean, he's known for eating the stuff that you would feed to...
I haven't had Kentucky Fried Chicken in years.
Have Popeyes, way better.
I love Popeyes.
There was a Popeyes between here and Frederick, and I used to stop at it every now and then on my way.
When I lived over in Cleveland,
course,
over
there was
by
a little
you,
Popeyes about a mile from
was,
my place.
Yeah, there was a I mean, there was that Popeyes over on Lorraine.
Lorraine 150th, yep.
And I would go through there, although that Popeye was kind of in the hood. And so if you go to that Popeyes after like 7,
someone might try to stab you.
No. You go to that Popeyes after 7 and they would tell you that we ain't got no chicken. What do you mean you don't have any chicken? This is Popeye's chicken. How do you run out of chicken? We ain't got no chicken. Okay, well, what are my options then?
What are your options?
You want some scrimp? You know what? I'm just going to go to Taco Bell.
What am I screwing up with the Ben Carson story, though? he claimed to have been. Didn't he claim something happened on a Popeye's chicken? Wasn't it a he broke up a attempted
got a fight or maybe the, yeah. Is someone, Popeye's
where someone held up a Popeye's chicken that he was in is his story. Oh. And but all right, sorry to digress. I'm just
like don't talk to me Ben Carson. About Ben Carson right now. I'm having issues with HUD at work. It's they're I all right. Don't even like. This will devolve quickly into my work situation, and that's not good.
Let's, okay.
My work situation is fine, but the situation at HUD is not good, and I feel bad because there are some good people there who are suffering because of the lack of leadership, and it starts at the top and filters down. It's a mess. So that's sad. But anyway, let's
so 3:45.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean. What are you doing? Now, part of it, I think it's a combination
of
stress and literally having access to eat whatever you want, like whatever you want right there. And I know he's Donald Trump and you're like, oh, he's a billionaire. He's always had that. Yeah, I guess. But I think it's different when you're in the White House. Right? I just think it's different when you're in the White House. The food at the White House is amazing. I've eaten there twice. And
look at you.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
Okay. Well, exactly.
I'm sure.
You haven't done that, and you can't get in.
I was waiting for you to do that. I realized, like, here's one, here's two.
Yes, yep. Set yourself up. Absolutely. So I could easily see how you put, I mean, you call and say, I want this. You could literally start making shit up that you want to eat. And you could also tell them that, by the way, every meal needs to end with a peanut butter parfait from Dairy Queen, and you get it.
And those are delicious. Let's not dispute that for a second.
Sweet, delicious.
It is salty and sweet. All right.
On that note, let's shut it down and see if we can go find some place that's open. I want a milkshake.
There won't be any milkshakes.
I don't.
All right.
So lactose intolerant. That'd be a bad idea.
Later, man. Good talk.
Yep.